Hi, welcome to If You Even Care. Thank you for being here. And for those of you who care, for caring. Thank you for that as well. I'm sorry that it's been a couple days more than it should be, because I would like to be back on a set schedule for recording, and I just can't right now, but soon, I'm hoping something's going to give. Something being the stuff that makes noise around me. So hopefully something will change with that. And also for the quality of the recording on the last episode, I was trying out a new camera. I was feeling crazy and ended up looking like shit. But I got a vlogging camera, and this past weekend, for the first time, I vlogged. Because I had that feeling, that itch where I was like, I want to do something different, something I've never done before. And I've never had a successful attempt at vlogging. And now I think I actually got enough footage to make a whole vlog. So that'll be fun. I'm looking forward to the editing process more than like anything. More than even filming them and the idea of like making this new kind of content I've never made before. I'm just really looking forward to like getting in there and editing. I don't know. It's so satisfying for me. It's one of my favorite parts of doing anything. Is like making a cover photo or editing a video. I like that part. So whenever that's up, I will post that on this channel somewhere. I will let you know in some way, shape, or form. That information will get to you if you are interested, if you care. I did not get the best sleep last night. I don't know if anybody else is like this, but whenever I have anything change about my sleeping situation, I get the most fucked up dreams, like fever dreams. And I got a new bed frame and I fell for TikTok shop propaganda. And I got the viral hotel pillows. So they're really nice. They actually do kind of feel like hotel quality and they were pretty cheap. So I'm not really mad about falling for that propaganda. There are 87 things in that cart that are never ever going to see the inside of my apartment, and I promise you that. But sometimes I just put them in there just to, I don't know, take a look one day. What was I interested in at the time? What did I have an impulse to buy, but I didn't go for it? This is one of those rare times that I pulled the trigger on something. But because something changed in my sleep setup, these thick ass pillows, a new bed frame, so my mattress is sitting differently on it. I don't know what it is, but I had just insane dreams. The one that's bothering me the most, like, you know when you wake up from a dream and it leaves you with an icky feeling all day and you gotta like shake it off and sometimes it takes a couple hours? I had a dream that I was on Love Island. So, of course, this was a nightmare. In this dream, I had to swim to the villa. So I'm in a bathing suit like they always are on episode one, swimming in the ocean to the villa. I would not be capable of swimming in deep water like that in real life, but dream. So as I'm swimming, I'm seeing the other contestants, like the other girls. So I'm like saying hi to them and then they're kind of like ignoring me. And then I pass the one girl and she has a dog. It must have been a dog I saw somewhere. Must have had dog on the brain. I don't normally think about dogs, but she had a dog. And so I swam over to her and I was like, hey, like, you know, saying hi. And her dog came over and it was so friendly, but sad. It had a sadness to it. And it like came over and I like held it for a second like a baby. I was like, okay, like, really sweet. It was really cute. But then I'm like, I look up at the girl and she's kind of like giving me a weird, confused look. I don't know. Your dog came up to me. I don't know why. I don't know how I got in the position where I'm like cradling it like a baby. So I put the dog down and we keep swimming. I knew from that interaction, like everybody I'm coming across in this dream is just like straight face. Nobody will smile. Nobody's giving me anything. And I'm not lucid dreaming, like I'm not fully aware in this dream, but I know at that point, like I have just enough awareness to go, oh, it's going to be one of those dreams where everybody like ignores you or is like really rude or like put off by you. And you're like, I'm fucking doing anything. We're all swimming to the villa together. I get there. I'm on dry land. I'm pulled into a warehouse where a bunch of guys with like lore accurate Love Island haircuts, you know, the British one where it's brushed all the way forward and they have like baby bangs, just a bunch of those guys come into the room. I don't know how my brain even generated these people, honestly. They all kind of look the same, just wearing different clothes. And all these guys are kind of sitting on like bleachers or something, and they're all like looking at me. Honestly, this feels more like a sidemen, is that what it's called? Sidemen, or like a cut video, because I'm just in this corner of a warehouse, like sectioned off by cloth with a bunch of guys staring at me while I'm wet in a bathing suit. So the worst thing that could ever happen to me ever is happening to me in this dream. And one of the guys is like, oh, does anybody like want to couple up with her? And the guys are kind of like, nobody's saying yes. They're all kind of just talking amongst each other. And then I hear one of the guys use the word females. So in my mind, in the dream, I'm like, all right, I'm wet. Oops, probably smell like dog right now because I was cradling a dog in my arms. And I'm in a bathing suit and I'm uncomfortable. But maybe I can get them to laugh. And then that'll warm them up because nobody's really coupling up with me right now. So I don't know why this, I would think this would make this kind of group of men laugh, but I was like, who just used the word females? Silence. Nobody smiled. Nobody even smirked. Nobody gave me anything. I just kind of stood there in it, wet bathing suit, smelling like dog, bunch of guys judging me based off the way I look. And then I make a joke that's like not really a joke and more of a question, doesn't land. When I tell you I forced myself awake, I like ejected from my body, sat up straight in bed. Because it was that alarming. Like, it was like, it felt like a shock to my system. Dude, after that dream, I just had this feeling I could not shake off. It felt like it really happened to me. For like a couple of hours, I felt like the aftershock of like going through something like that. And I had coffee. I was sitting at my desk working. And no matter what I did or listened to, I just could not shake that feeling of being like judged in a wet bathing suit by strangers. Oh, it like left a cast over me, almost literally, because the only thing that made me feel better was taking a shower. And like, I don't know, that something about that just reset me. And I'm pretty sure I know what put the idea, like the thought of Love Island, in my head in the first place. Who here is caught up on the latest episode of Fruit Love Island? Got him. Get him, boys. Get them the fuck out of here. You gotta go. You gotta go. We don't do that here. Not cool. Not okay. That AI slop, Fruit Island shit is genuinely the worst use of AI. No, it's not, because people were using AI to make people naked and doing things. One of the worst, seemingly like publicly accepted uses of AI I've seen so far. It's, the thing is, it's not well done. It's not even the kind of thing where like once in a while I'll get house music or some kind of song that comes across like on TikTok, just comes up on my radar somehow, and I'll find out that it's AI. After hearing it and being like, oh, I kind of like that, I'll find out it's AI, and it's disappointing. But it's like, okay, well, it was a decent song, so I don't feel as bad about not recognizing that it was AI. It's not like the early models where like you could just tell. The AI was written all over everything, and now it's like you really have to look sometimes, which sucks and is scary. Fruit Love Island, you look at it and you're like, yeah, that's just sloppy fucking AI. That's a sloppy AI mess. The characters look different from frame to frame. Everything is constantly growing or shrinking in size. The actions don't make any sense, like the hand movements and the facial expressions. None of it makes any fucking sense. All of it has that Pixar animation style to it. And what are we doing? Genuinely, what are we doing? What is that? This shit gets millions of likes. There's celebrities talking about it. Like, there's people, and some of them are probably being ironic, but some of them aren't. And that's really upsetting. Because even the scenarios, I've seen enough of it by watching somebody else watch it. The scenarios that are happening in Fruit Love Island, let's just take a second with that. Let's just give it a moment, let it breathe. Fruit Love Island, where all the characters are fruits. I'm sorry, that's so fucking stupid. All the scenarios happening in Fruit Love Island are scenarios that happened in actual Love Island. So why wouldn't you just watch Love Island? And if you're thinking what I also thought, which is there have to be a lot of kids watching this. You know, kids watch whatever bullshit, like those AI cats that like the wife is always cheating and getting pregnant by another cat. And then the daddy cat, like the first cat, the like husband cat that got cheated on, goes to the gym and gets really buff and, you know, whatever. As everybody knows about that, about the cats. Kids watch that shit. You know, kids are the reason that if you go on YouTube and you're not logged into an account, everything is Mr. Beast and like a bunch of fucking other AI slop. Kids. But this is not just kids. It's a lot of not kids. It's a lot of people who either already do or are about to have developed frontal lobes. Let me tell you something. If a loved one came to me and they said, hey, I need to confess something to you, I would go, absolutely. You know, whatever it is, I'm here for you. There's no such thing as TMI. And then they told me that they are obsessed with Fruit Love Island. I would go, okay. Okay. And I would take them in my arms and I would swaddle them with a blanket, make sure to tuck them in real good, support the neck and back, and get them in the car. And they would go, I want my passy. And I would say, shh, it's okay. There's Miami Mint where you're going. And I would make sure they're really comfortable, put on some Gracie Abrams for them, and take a little trip down to the local fire department. Where I would go, listen, boys, Dalmatian, take good care of this one. Find them a place where they'll be accepted for who they are. And then I would get back in the car and look in the rearview mirror where they would be laying on the road where I had just sat them down, and they're still swaddled. So as I'm driving away, it's kicking up a lot of dirt and debris, and I only give it that one glance back, and then I would never look back again. I love you. From afar, I gotta love you from over here. Some things, and yes, it's that deep. And yes, it's that deep. I'm taking you and I'm, I don't care how old you are. You're an orphan now. And you need to find a family that's going to accept you the way you are. You guys can all wear like those Pixar, those AI Pixar character shirts where the whole family has been turned into Pixar characters. You can all wear one, okay? And you'll meet a nice man and you'll both wear hoodies and one of them will say king and one of them will say queen. And then you know, and you'll have signs in every room of your house that state what happens in that room. You'll have a nice sign in the kitchen that says eat, nice sign in the living room that says family, you know, and you're going to live a good, happy life. But you do need to be isolated. You need to be kept away from everybody else, okay? It just is that way. I'm going to have to love you from very, very far away. I want to love the memory of you before you became this. It's that deep. Everything is that deep. It would be one thing if it was like you're watching a computer-generated, like fan-made Fruit Love Island, or somebody literally on their countertop with a bunch of fruit with drawn on faces, whatever. Why would that bother me? It's the AI Fruit Love Island. I would never let that happen to anybody I love. It's not, they don't lean into the fact that they're fruits. They don't even make them consistently look like fruits. They don't look like people either. They all have the exact same body type. They don't take advantage of things that you wouldn't be able to do with regular Love Island and give them like dramatic backstories and cutaway scenes to like things that happened off island. It's pure slop. Absolute fucking garbage. And you know what? This is funny because it is one of those things where there's some overlap between like Gen Z and millennials, where everybody makes fun of millennials for the whole like using AI to see what you would look like as a Pixar character, as a Tim Burton character, as like whatever character, to see what you would look like on a coffee mug. Like you couldn't just use your brain and picture it. You need to see it and then share it on like your Facebook story or whatever. This is very much that. Like there is no difference between these two things. Like you can't make fun of millennials for turning themselves into Pixar characters and then also watch Fruit Love Island where they all look like Pixar characters and it makes no fucking sense and it's not even entertaining or funny. What I have been watching is The Pitt, which The Pitt season 2 has been really good. I did not think that I would like this show the way that I ended up liking it because I'm super squeamish. I can't handle a lot of blood, gore, God forbid a bone sticks out of something. That's just too much for me. And then I think this is a super common thing probably, but I never really hear anybody talk about it out loud where you see something happening in like a show or a movie, like an injury happening. Like say somebody's arm was like all torn up, like they had some crazy accident, so their arm is all fucked up. I'm watching it and it makes my arm hurt. Like I get the tingles, like almost lightheaded feeling through my body when I see a lot of blood or something that's like really like a really traumatic injury. But then I also feel that part of my body respond. Like I feel like phantom pain, really? Yeah, I feel phantom pain like in my body when I see that. So not usually my kind of show. I just don't care about like hospital shows. But I kept seeing people talk about it and I said, listen, if there's one thing I'm going to do is I'm going to give the people a chance. And sometimes they'll let me down like a Fruit Love Island. And often I find that they don't. So I'm always willing to give something a shot. And I ended up really loving it. But what I didn't know, because I started watching The Pitt not long before this season 2 started. It's kind of perfect timing to start watching a show. So I wasn't on like Pitt Talk. I'm not getting tweets about it. I'm not seeing anything about The Pitt. I don't know what the fan base is like. I finally started getting some stuff, like some videos and tweets. The Pitt has one of the horniest fan bases I have ever seen for a TV show. And I did not expect that at all. Not even a little bit. I mean, I'm seeing them like, they're like obsessing over these things that I didn't even notice, like somebody's gold necklace swinging, like their chain swinging, or a look between two characters. I'm like, yeah, some of these people, you're like, oh, I kind of wish they'd get together, but it's not that kind of show. They only get 10 seconds here and there every other episode to actually have a personal conversation with somebody. You don't get a lot of that. So it's like when you do get it, and it feels important because they only have these passing moments during their shift to actually talk to one another about anything outside of the patients. So people are like drawing conclusions between characters, like coming up with all these theories about what's going on. They're trying to solve these medical mysteries and figure out what's going on with each patient or what's about to happen in the next episode. And I'm not thinking at all. I'm not thinking even a little bit while I have it on. I'm watching it completely differently. And I don't think I should be doing that. I think maybe it would be more enjoyable if I was actually fully tapped in and being like, okay, maybe this is what's actually happening with this patient. I'm just watching it. I'm not thinking. I'm not thinking at all. And the last thing I'm doing is getting horny. The absolute last thing. And one thing my girls are going to do is they are going to find the yaoi in something that is yaoi-less. They will find it. They will seek it out. I'm seeing like Huckleberry and Dr. Robbie, like fan fictions and like artwork and stuff, especially because Dr. Robbie offered for Huckleberry to like stay in his house while he was going on his sabbatical. And then people were like, so what I'm thinking is when he comes back, he's just going to be like, hey, you already live here, so why don't you just stay? And like, obviously, I don't think they genuinely think that's going to happen. But I don't, it's just kind of beautiful. It's like, wow, we are watching the same show so differently. There's just something about that. I'm going through my notes because I was having a hard time remembering what was even happening in the past week. I'm like, what have I done recently? I did go to H Mart for the first time, and I've got a thing for the Japanese sweet potatoes real bad. Like, my picture in the back of Whole Foods bad because they keep selling them out. Cleaning house. They're so good. They taste so buttery. They almost taste like, not like they've been seasoned already, but they have so much flavor to them that you just really need. Like, I put a little bit of salt, pepper, paprika if I'm feeling absolutely nuts. If I feel really fucking crazy, a little paprika, maybe even smoked. Not too much, though, because you put too much smoked paprika on something, it starts to taste like bacon. And I hate that taste of like artificial bacon. But they're so good. But the ones from H Mart that come in the paper bag, I looked up how they cook them. It's a whole convoluted way that I'm not going to be able to do at home. But the way that it cooks them, they become like a custard inside. I ate those bitches just straight up, nothing on them. I took a bite to try it. And then normally I put a little like slice of cheese or something on it. A little bit of cheese, like Havarti cheese, and then some jam on the side is so good on a Japanese sweet potato, or any sweet potato, but I think it's better on those. But those H Mart ones, oh my God, I took a bite and then I ended up eating the whole thing. That's crazy. They're doing magic in that place. Okay, as far as notes, I'm usually a little bit better at like jotting down my thoughts, but what I'm working with right now is a list of things that I used to think as a kid made somebody rich. Like if I saw that they had these things, I was like, okay, money bags. Somebody's loaded. they're really simple things because like you're a kid, but I still kind of felt this way even into my teens because they're just things I didn't have. Like one of them is having a walkway to the front door and there's like stones and like lights along the path leading up to the door. I'm like, that's rich to me. That's money. You know, I feel like kids that had that kind of house, you just, okay, like you're wearing Hollister. They were wearing Hollister. Or having a landing on the staircase. And any kind of home can have that, but one that I always, anytime I saw it in somebody's house, I just immediately made an assumption about their tax bracket, is when you open the door And then there's like you're already on a landing, and then there's stairs that go upstairs and stairs that go downstairs. You open the door and then you already are met with, okay, we got three levels in this bitch. That to me, that's two levels. Wow. But like having a staircase and then you've got a really big landing right in the middle of it, that to me was just like in a really nice house. It was always going to be in what I thought was a rich kid's house, or having juice all the time. You know, that if you've ever seen that episode of Pen 15, when they make like a, they have like a third girl they add to their group, but she's trying to be their friend by just kind of like buying their friendship, like having them over at the house. And she has that house that has all the snacks in it. Like, she's got every fucking thing. She's got all the juice, and she talks to her mom like crazy, like treats her mom like shit. That's the kind of house I figured I was in. If I walk in your kitchen and you've got a lot of cabinets and you've got like, I don't even know, Dunkaroos and juice in the fridge, not to act like I never had juice growing up, but it wasn't something we just always had on us. I didn't grow up in like a soda or a fruit juice house. We would have those things occasionally. Soda, like never, unless it was like a rare fast food moment. But juice. And don't sleep on the frozen cans. Those were good. I remember those being good. When I see them in the store now, I'm never picking them up. But I remember them being good. The frozen cans that you would put in the pitcher with the water. The fruit punch one. What I actually want to do is I want to take a bite out of the can. Like out of the frozen juice. Just straight up raw dog the juice. I won't let myself do that, but I really want to. Also, whenever a new Pokemon game would come out, there would be two versions. If you had both versions, if you had Ruby and Sapphire, you were one of the richest people I'd ever met in my life. Like, I figured you were, like, actually rolling in it, going home and physically rolling in it because you had that much money. A classic one was that if you had a fridge that had the water dispenser built into it, or even better, if it had the ice dispenser, that's wealth. Okay. That's, you're living the good life. And I would take advantage of the ice dispenser every single time I would go over to anybody's house that had one. I'm going to eat a lot of ice. I'm going to be eating a lot of ice. So I don't know where you get the water from in the fridge. I don't know where the water supply is coming from. Make sure that she's full. Make sure to replenish her because I'm going to be eating a lot of your ice. This one actually kind of holds up, because it's one of the most expensive kinds of fast food that you could get. But one of the first times I ever had Five Guys, I was staying over at my friend Nikki's house and her family bought it for me. She made a big deal out of it too. She was like, you know what they fried the fries in, right? I was like, no, I've never had it before ever. And she was like, peanut oil? Ever heard of it? I was like, no, I don't even like peanuts. Am I going to like that? She was like, yeah, you're going to like it. They're the best fries ever in the world. And then like the feeling of being like, oh my God, I'm going to eat one of the best things I've ever had in my life right now. And it actually being that good, I will never forget it. It still is. Like, I hardly ever get Five Guys. And when I do, I'm like, this is a treat. This is like luxury. Like, as far as fast food goes, that's a luxury. Now, if you DoorDash Five Guys, you are in a different tax bracket than me. You are living a very different life than me. That's something I've just never been able to bring myself to do. Now, on my worst, most hungover day, when the only thing in the world I want is a really good cheeseburger, would I be able to get myself to DoorDash it? I just thought my friend Nikki's family had access to foods that, like, we didn't. Like, they just knew about foods I'd never had before. Like, they were the first ones to put me on to, and I'm going to use the word to honor the fact that I live in Pennsylvania, but I want you to know that I would prefer to say hero or sub any day. But they put me on to hoagie oil, you know, like oil, vinegar, and then a bunch of seasonings. My mom, like growing up, we always put oil and vinegar on everything, and I was obsessed on another level with oil and vinegar. Oil and vinegar and seasoning on salad, on a sandwich, on anything. That's a combination I never should have had access to because I abused it. And then finding out about hoagie oil, I just personally feel like there you couldn't find an uglier word to call a sandwich. I would never want to call anything in my life a hoagie. That's way too close in my mind to loogie. They're nearly synonymous. A hoagie sounds like something like that you just cough up. Like a tonsil stone should be called a hoagie. Not a sandwich. Now, when we first got DirecTV and we had the ability to like pause and record things on the TV, I'm a kid. So I was like, are we rich? Like, I remember telling my friends about having DirecTV and like recording shows, and I would always get in trouble for recording shit that I wanted to watch over everybody else's stuff. And none of my friends had it yet. So I was like, oh my God. I mean, my cousin got both Pokemon games. My friend has an outdoor fridge. And that friend always has soda in the house. But maybe we're doing better than I thought. And maybe not. I don't know. Maybe that was just like a good month. And then we just committed to having it. I don't know what it was. Maybe people just didn't catch on yet. I don't know. But that was revolutionary at the time. That really made me feel like, okay, we may not have a landing on our stairs, but we do have the ability to pause TV as long as it's pre-recorded. I think that I thought having a lot of frozen food was kind of like a rich thing, like having a lot of snacks in the house, yeah, but also having a lot of access to frozen stuff, like having a bunch of kid cuisines or something in the freezer or like frozen pizzas. I thought that was like a really rich person thing. So I don't know. I think I probably was amazed by just about every person's home that I went to as a kid. And also having a garage. I still kind of feel that way. Like you're just, not that you're wealthy, but like you're doing well for yourself if you live in the area I live in where a lot of people are living in like a townhouse or an apartment. If you have a garage, you're like paying extra, you know, you're paying an amount that I would not or could not pay to live wherever you're living. It's funny because sometimes growing up without certain things just accessible all the time really does make you have a different kind of appreciation for everything that you have. Anytime I get something new, anytime I look in my fridge and I see stuff in it that I didn't have growing up, whether it was just because of trying to keep things within a certain budget or if it was just like things that my mom just didn't want to have in the house, whatever it is, I look at it and every single time I feel that feeling of like, oh shit, like I'm giving myself stuff I didn't have before. Like look at my fridge. Look at my sodas. Look at my juice. I never really have juice in the house, to be honest. That still hasn't changed, but look at my Coke Zeros. Look at my Coke Zeros and see how far I've come. I allot myself a very high Coke Zero budget. And that's for little me. That's for her. I'm curious about what those things might be for other people, because I think it depends on how you grew up and also where you grew up. In some places, I feel like it would be more common to have something like a garage or a pool or whatever, or even like a stone walkway. But I wonder what those things are for other people. I think everybody saw the kid that had both of the new Pokemon games, and we all universally felt like, that's rich kid shit. And anybody that had like actual Uggs, as I got a little bit older, I always thought that they had a lot of money, even though it could have just been like they could not have had a lot of money, and that's the one thing that they were given as a gift or like splurged on. But I was a Bear Paw girl. only converted to Uggs as I got older. But I also remember everybody making a big deal out of Uggs being like not being cruelty free. And it was like a thing to like boycott Uggs. I don't know. I don't think it's like that anymore. I don't know if they've changed their process, but I should probably look into that actually. But I've still only owned one pair of Uggs in my life. I was bare paw to the death of me. There was a time when I was like, why would I literally ever buy Uggs? And then I would look down at my weather-beaten bare paws hanging on by a fucking thread. Uggs would get nasty too, but bare paws, they'd take a beating for the first couple months, and then they would start to actively disintegrate and become one with the earth while you were still wearing them. So shout out to my bare paw girls. Shout out to you. You know, just making do, you know, and hoping nobody looks too closely. Somebody did in like 9th grade point out the fact that I was wearing bare paws instead of Uggs, like made a joke about it. Haunts me. Haunts me to this day. But also, your shit's leaning. Okay, yeah, bear paw. I wish they'd make the thing, the bear paw sign a little bit smaller. Their logo, a little bit smaller. Little more inconspicuous. But your shit is still leaning to the fucking side. Okay? You're pigeon-toed, beloved. So let's focus on that. Let's focus on the things that really matter. You need arch support. Something's going on there. Your mom was squeezing you into too tight shoes. I worked at Stride-Rite for a couple of months. I know what I'm talking about. And I went to Subway University. I know a thing or two about a thing or two. Okay? Shit on my bare paws. Nothing wrong with it. Nothing wrong with it. I still have a pair of bare paws that I wear to this day. And they are fucked up. They're fucked. They're in bad shape. But those are my, like, slip-on and run-out-of-the-house shoes. But to this day, I can't say I ever see somebody wearing boots and try to figure out if they're Uggs or not. If they're cute, they're cute. I just don't have a mind that works that way. When I see a bag, I don't think about what brand it is. I just think about whether I like the way it looks or not. Same thing with clothes. Some people just, they know brands and they pay attention to those things. Is it cute? Yay or nay? That's where the thought process stops for me. Maybe I'll ask where it's from. And then if it's like, okay, that's something I can't afford. Good to know at least. And I'll do a little dupe search later. So you've still given me just enough. Okay, now I have to go because it's golden hour. And unfortunately, the most beautiful hour of the day is the loudest. So this is where we part ways. But I will see you the next time I post an episode. And that'll be the next time that we're seeing each other is when I'll see you. So I'll see you then when I'm seeing you.